Let's take our Bibles tonight, please, and we'll turn in them in the Old Testament, again to the book of Psalms, the 23rd chapter. As you're turning there, thank you for being so faithful through this meeting. And what a blessing just to see you night after night. And I've just been so encouraged and so blessed by it myself. And I know you have as well. I've heard so many comments about it. And we thank the Lord for what God's done in our hearts during these days. Amen. And again, thank you for your faithfulness. Psalm 23, let's stand together. We'll read the six verses together aloud one more time together tonight. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We'll go to the Lord in prayer together once again, and after we pray, we'll have our special. And then Pastor Shetler will be here with us for this last message. And I sure appreciate him joining us, don't you? And what a blessing it's been to have him here. And I thank the Lord for him being willing to be a help to us here at Faith Baptist Church. Pray tonight that God will use him as he brings God's word. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for the great privilege we have to be here and meet here together once again. And Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We know it's your word. We know you inspired it. We know that you preserved it for us. We have it today. And God, I pray that as we go to it tonight, that you would, that you'd help us, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us. Lord, I pray that we'd again tonight hear exactly what you'd have us to hear, and then that we'd act upon it and just be obedient and do what you'd have us to do. Please use Pastor Shetler as he brings it. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. We'll praise you. We'll give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, for you alone are worthy of it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Sacrifice for a noble cause, spent your time in seeking humanity's applause. Others have made long journey to strange and distant lands, searching for the answer in the heart of man.
I too have tried in vain to be good enough for him, not knowing I could never make the payment for my sin. But God in heaven came to me, and with the Spirit's sword, he answered all my questions in his word. Nothing but the blood for me take away my sin. I kneel beneath the fountain that cleanses deep within. Nothing but the blood for me, the past racing flood of justice and mercy, found in nothing but the blood.
Heart is yielded to his will, my soul has found its ways, my mind is resting in the peace that knowing Jesus brings. Still many grope in emptiness, a place I lived so long. If only they could sing with me this song.
Nothing but the blood for me take away my sin. I kneel beneath the fountain that cleanses deep within. Nothing but the blood for me, the past racing flood of
of justice and mercy, found in nothing but the blood for me to take away my sin. I kneel beneath the fountain that cleanses deep within. Nothing but the blood for me, the past racing flood of justice and mercy, found in nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
There is nothing but the blood.
There is nothing but the
Thank you so much, man. That is great. I have enjoyed the special music this week immensely. I want to thank all of you that had a part in that. I want to thank the choirs, that everyone that has sung, all the specials, the instrumentals. The music has been just excellent. It has prepared my heart every night. By the way, high schoolers, it was a real treat to hear you tonight sing. Didn't they do a good job? Listen, you should hear them in the chapels, too, the junior high and the senior high choir singing chapels. Boy, it's just excellent. And I really will tell you, as much as I've enjoyed all of our services, I think I leave tomorrow morning with saying that maybe some of the greatest blessings this week have been our chapel services. I have so enjoyed being with the junior high and with our senior high at Faith Baptist. I really have. You know, there's a great story we've been talking. I look out tonight and I see such a great crowd, and we're all so close together tonight. And I say, I'm okay. You guys got all kinds of people. I do realize that there are people out in the foyers, I think also in the stair towers, and I want to thank all of you tonight that are out there in the foyer and everything. Hey, let's give them a hand out there, all right? That's great that they're sitting out there. And I appreciate all that and that you're staying, and I hope you can hear it as well. And actually, I probably look a lot better out there in the foyer than I do up here. Okay, so that's good. But I was thinking about the closeness of everyone tonight. Now, this is a great story about sheep and the shepherd. Really doesn't fit the Psalm 23, but it is a great story. Do you know that sometimes when the shepherd is leading the flock and they will be going through a pasture, they're going down the paths of righteousness, and they're traveling, it is possible that a wolf, coyote, a mountain lion, will come down and swoop down right into the flock. Remember now, the shepherd is in the front, so the sheep are following, and the mountain lion may come down, pick one out, and come swooping down and go into that one sheep. When that happens, and the shepherd knows it, when I read this, I thought this is the greatest thing. The shepherd many times will stand up on a rock or whatever, and you've heard it said that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. The shepherd will get up on a rock or whatever, and he'll cry out. He might make a noise, to-hoo, to-hoo. And the sheep know that they all come together unified. And do you know that wolves, mountain lions, coyotes have been suffocated to death because the sheep have gotten so close together, they become like one, and their wool has actually suffocated them because they're all as one and unified. Well, I look out tonight, man, it'd be hard for the devil to come in here tonight. I think you guys would just suffocate the old wolf tonight. The hound of hell would have a hard time tonight. But you know what? That is also a great illustration of Faith Baptist Church. This church is called, I guarantee you, the hound of hell is looking at this flock. The hound of hell's picked out a few sheep that he would love to get his teeth into out of this flock. But I'm going to tell you, the unity, the love, and the closeness that I sense at Faith Baptist Church, he wouldn't last long. He'd be suffocated because of your love one for another and your closeness. And I tell you where that all starts. It starts from your under shepherd. Your pastors. You know, I'm going to ask at this time for all of the pastors that have been the senior pastors of this church for the last over 50 years to come on up here, would you? That's two men.
Okay.
That's Dr. Rasmussen and Pastor Tim. Come on up here. I brought a couple gifts for both of you guys. And I praise the Lord. You know, you think about that. What I just said is amazing, is it not? That over 50 years, you only have two pastors in this church, and they even come from the same family. That's a pretty good deal there. My son goes to West Coast, and he will tell you just straight out, probably the two biggest people of his influence in his life has been Dr. Mark Rasmussen and Dr. John Getch. And I will tell you, I absolutely love every one of those Rasmussen kids, and praise the Lord for, I get to meet one kind of, every time I come, I get to meet another one or ever. I praise the Lord for them. But I praise the Lord for the leadership of your church, your heritage, and your future. And the Lord has really blessed. I have a book for each one of you, and I signed it, so I got to make sure this is Doc's here, and this is, better make sure this is Tim and Kelly's. Yeah, all right. And this is for you and Linda. Now listen, this is a book I came across about 6 months ago. It was this book that inspired me to do the series that we've done. It's called All We Like Sheep. It has got the most beautiful pictures of sheep I have ever seen. But almost everything that I have preached this week has come out of that book. All of the insights, the things about the rod and the staff, and just all of the things have come out of that book. I think you'll thoroughly enjoy it. The pictures are absolutely beautiful. Dr. Rasmussen, Pastor Tim, thank you guys so much. Let's give your leadership a hand. Praise the Lord for both of them. Amen. Have you ever thought, when did David get Psalm 23? I mean, when was it? Now, this isn't a real important point because it's not mentioned in the scriptures. Now, we believe, as we talked about Sunday, I think this would be really good to appropriate to do this. How many of you have been to every service Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and you're here tonight? Would you stand for just a minute? Would you stand if you've been to every one of the services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night? Pastor, that's got to encourage you. Thank you all so much for your faithfulness. Thank you. You may be seated. Have you ever thought, when did David get Psalm 23? Now, we know Psalm 23 was in heaven before David was ever created, before he was ever on this earth. Psalm 23 was there. But we do know that David is the human instrument that God used to write Psalm 23. I have in my study one of the books, and I use it a lot. It's the Chronological Bible. And what it does is it puts the Bible in chronological order. And it is so interesting, especially the Passion Week, that week that Christ, the chronological Bible just puts everything in order, and I love it. But I thought when I was doing this series, oh, I don't know, three, four, 5 weeks ago, I thought, where did they put Psalm 23? Now, some of the Psalms are very obvious. The stories that go in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, they go right with David's life, and the psalm goes right there. And you know, right, if he's in the cave of Adullam, I think he wrote Psalm 34, and you can see that in the psalm. But some of the psalms you don't know. And I thought it'd be just kind of interesting. Well, they put it right after the story of David and Goliath, which I like because I think David had Psalm 23 all of his life. I mean, since when he was a king, since he was a young man, I think Psalm 23 meant so much to David. And the Lord gave it to him, I think, early in his life. We don't have that for sure, so that's not dogma. But I do believe that this psalm has been such an encouragement to David through, and you think about all of the events of David's life and everything he went through, I think Psalm 23 was there for all of them. You know, I do not ever think this. I really don't. And I am never presumptuous about attendance. But I just sensed we were going to have a big crowd tonight. I really did. Because I don't know about you, but after I went home and just saw everything, or went back to the motel and saw everything about the elections, I needed Psalm 23. And I don't know about you tonight, but I just think that Psalm 23 is where we need to be and what God has given for us at this time. Now, I want to tell you a story. By the way, look at the scriptures. We're looking at verse number 6. And there's something you can do with this psalm. Now, boy, we would never want to take out verse 2, 3, 4, and 5. But, you know, you really could do this with the psalm. We're at verse number 6 tonight. But you could really say, the Lord is my shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, you really could. You could have that whole psalm in one verse and just add that verse 1 down to verse 6. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, then surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want you to know that as we come to this psalm tonight and we look at verse number 6, and we've already quoted it together, I'm going to read it to you just before we pray, but I just want to share this with you tonight. Allow God's Spirit to speak to you tonight. We've had such a good spirit this week. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me. Boy, I don't like to lay down, but if he provides the right conditions, he maketh me lie down in those green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. Early in the morning, I get all that water off the dew of the blades of grass. He restoreth my soul. Boy, I got a little comfortable. I got some dirt in my wool. I got a little too fat, and I fell over on my back. But you know what? That shepherd came, and he restored me. He put me back on my feet again. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Boy, it's never been the wrong trail. It's never been the wrong path. As I have followed the precepts, the promises, and the principles of God's word, he's led me to the right pasture fields every time. Yea, though I walk, I don't have to run because I'm not afraid. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Now, it's a valley, but the reason why it's a valley is it's the gentlest of all grades to the top of the mesa. It's because I go in the valley because that's where the water is. It's a valley that he leads me to because that's where the best feeding is. I'm glad I'm not climbing up the side of the mountain. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a shadow. That's all it is. And it is more than, and the death is just my passageway over. I'm not afraid. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It is his presence. He protects me. He provides for me. Thy rod and thy staff. Both of them, that rod's there to correct me, and that staff's there to comfort me and guide me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He went ahead. He searched out the whole plain. He made sure all the poisonous weeds are out. He covered all the gopher holes. He made sure there was no snakes. He made sure that the table that I came into, the field that I came into, was absolutely prepared just for me. And it's all the nourishment. He's protecting me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Man, it doesn't matter who's against me. Thou anointest my head with oil. The Holy Spirit he's given to me. And that when I get wounded or I have that disease called scab or those insects are just driving me crazy, he puts that oil on me as an insecticide to keep those pests away. So that I won't, when I butt heads with others, will just kind of slide off. And when I get those wounds, that oil of the Holy Spirit comes to heal me. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. His blessings have been so good. Surely, there's no question about it. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. I thank you, Lord, for every soul that's here. Lord, there are some of us here tonight that are concerned about our land and our country. May we tonight take rest that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Father, we can't, we don't know for sure. Surely and goodness will follow the United States. But we know that surely in goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Father, we know that you're our shepherd. And tonight, may as we come to this last verse of this so loved psalm, may we understand, Father, may we see and may we experience what you have for us. You are such a good God. And tonight, may we see that goodness. We pray now that you'd speak to every heart. And Father, I do ask tonight that if there's a soul here this evening that does not know Christ as the shepherd of their soul, may tonight they trust in Christ and what he has done, and may tonight be the night of their salvation. For the sheep that maybe has been wandering away, may tonight the goodness of God and the mercy of God bring them back into the fold. Father, I pray that no matter what is happening in our life, we will remember that one day we're going to dwell forever in your house, and you got a place for us, and there is nothing that can ever happen on this earth that can take away our eternal home with you. Encourage us, Lord, in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He saw me right after the second service on Sunday. Young man visiting the church, but has been coming for some time. He may be in our crowd tonight. He came up to me and he said, I have a question. A question that I will tell you, friend, I have never thought of as I have studied for this over the last 3 months as I've studied this passage of Scripture. And as I've thought of Psalm 23 over most of my saved life, I have never thought about the question that was asked to me Sunday morning after the second service. He said, you talk about the shepherd's care, Jim. You talk about all the things that the shepherd does. And you say it's for the sheep. But Brother Shetler, what is the ultimate end of all the sheep that the shepherd's taking care of? I don't know. I don't know where you're going. Wait a second. I've just done one service, Sunday school, another service here. Help me out here. I'm not sure. I know where you're heading. He said, what is the ultimate end of all the sheep that the shepherd's taking care of? You talked about all of his care for the sheep. But what happens to the sheep? Why is he taking care of the sheep? To get wool from the sheep. But what else? And I will tell you, it started to hit me. And I thought, I don't want to say the answer that I think what he wants me to say. He said, what's the purpose of the sheep? And finally I said, well, I guess to be eaten, to be sacrificed. And then he said, to be sacrificed. And I said, well, yeah, that's true, isn't it? I mean, the shepherd's taking care of all these sheep, and the reason why he's taking care of these sheep is because he's going to sacrifice them. He's going to kill them. He's going to eat them. He's going to make his clothing out of them. And I thought, boy, that kind of puts a downer on Psalm 23. I'm thinking to myself, man, so everything that I'm preaching about, yeah, he's caring for him. Oh, yeah, he's doing this. Oh, yeah, he's keeping the coyotes away. He's killing them outlines so one day he can eat them. And I thought, boy, that's going to really resonate this coming week with these people. But as we talked, we got into the thing about Psalm 23. And he said, oh, I really like that Psalm 22 thing. You got to have the Savior before the shepherd. And I said to him, I said, you know what? I said, it is true that the normal shepherd takes care of the sheep so that they would one day be a sacrifice. But I said, the sacrifice has all been paid for now. Amen. Jesus Christ has died. The sacrifice is taken care of. So these sheep in Psalm 23 aren't like a normal flock. The shepherd doesn't need the sacrifice now. It's already been taken care of. Now it's relationship. And let me tell you, Psalm 23 is all about that. Let me explain. Because the shepherd of Psalm 23 was at one time the lamb that died for the sheep. I heard it said that in the Amazon, along some of the tributaries of the Amazon River, that shepherds will bring their sheep to the tributary, to the river, to get over to other pasture land. They have to cross over this tributary, the little branches of the Amazon River. When the shepherd gets to the edge of the water, he's done with his sheep in the pasture. They have to cross over. But he knows there's something in the water that will destroy the whole flock. They are called man-eating piranha fish. So he takes one of the sheep, maybe one that's a little weak, maybe one that's a little sick, maybe one that has scab all over. Remember we talked about scab? By the way, did you know when the Bible talks about a lamb without blemish, it means a lamb without scab, without that disease, that oil we talked about earlier this week. So he takes one of the lamb. Now, he's probably going to take a sickly lamb. He's probably going to take one that's got scab on it. He may take a little lamb. And he takes that lamb, and he brings out his knife. And he begins to cut the sheep all up. And he takes that sheep that now is all bloodied, and he throws that sheep into that tributary. About that time, that sheep isn't able to swim. It's all bloodied. It's dying, and it starts going down the river. He's got his whole flock with him. And then he can see the ripples of the water, and he can see the fish, the school of piranha, go and attack that one lamb. And folks, while that one lamb is being devoured, the rest of the sheep are able to cross the river, and they're able to be safe. One lamb had to die so that the flock could go across safely. Well, 2,000 years ago, the perfect, not a blemish, not a lamb with scab, the perfect Lamb of God died on the cross so all of us could get to heaven. And by the way, I believe for a whosoever gospel, I believe that Jesus Christ died for all of mankind. He didn't die for, well, I'll die for a few of you and a few of you, but I'm not sure about. I believe that he died for all of mankind. And now we come to Psalm 23, and we can talk about the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, because the shepherd was the lamb who died for all mankind. What a joy, what a thrill as we look now at this. Now, as we come to verse 6, we have, whether you realize this or not, and if you've been with us since Sunday morning, we have gone through an entire year of a shepherd with a sheep. You see, he takes them in late spring, and he takes them down into the valleys, into the pasture lands, and then throughout the whole summer, many of the things that we talked about, he's providing and he's protecting, and then in the fall, he starts taking them up to the upper mesas, the upper tables. He's got to get them to higher pasture land. He's taking them to higher ground. And then, as the year ends, as the winter starts coming in, he's going to go back to his house where the sheep are through the winter months in the fold, and they're protected, and they're given grain, and they're there in the house. So basically, Psalm 23 is a picture of an entire year with the sheep. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, Pastor Shetler, outside of John 3:16, is there any passage that just touches people's hearts more than Psalm 23? I don't know. It's up there with Romans 8 and John 3:16 and Psalm 23. But have you ever wondered why? Let me give you 6 real quick reasons why I believe Psalm 23 is the greatest of all psalms, and I think it all ends in this verse, number 6. Number 1, I want you to see, we've talked about it a couple times, we've touched upon it, is the contentment of the sheep. The contentment. This sheep has absolutely no concerns. This sheep has a total faith in the shepherd, that he controls, that he owns, and that he provides everything for me by his care and by his love. And folks, I think that's true. I think the shepherd takes care of us. He takes care of us in every area of our life, and there is complete contentment. I'm going to tell you, there is nothing in this world that can bring contentment to our soul. There is not. There is nothing that this world... By the way, I'll give you the proof of that. There is a guy that wrote a book of the Bible, and the entire book of the Bible was to find contentment and satisfaction in something. He tried learning. And he went after learning. And he could learn everything he could. And he found out learning is empty. There's just nothing to it. You learn more. And the more you learn, the more you need to learn. And the more you learn, the more you find out you don't know. I gave my life to learning. And it was empty. Then he gave his life to liquor. And he began to drink. And he says, I'm going to give my life to liquor and to drink. And you know what? He found the bottle to be empty. Then he went with luxury. And he said, I am going to do everything I can that the flesh wants. I am going to be... And he was so rich he could do it. And he went with luxury. And everything he did with luxury, he found it to be empty. And then he said, okay, I'm going to go with labor. I am going to go with labor, and I am going to work, and I am going to do everything that I can. I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to labor. And he found out that labor was absolutely empty. I'm going to tell you something. This man, the wisest man who ever lived, gave his life to everything. He tried the ladies. He gave his life to the ladies. He had 1,000 wives. And he found that to be empty. But then he said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. You read the book of Ecclesiastes. He gave everything to every area of life, and he did not find contentment until he found the Lord. And then when he found the Lord, that which was only made between him and God was finally fulfilled. Let me tell you, I believe that animals have a soul. I do. I mean, they definitely have a personality. They definitely have a temperament. They do not have a spirit. They do not have a God consciousness. Their soul is not eternal. When an animal dies, that's it. That animal's dead. But you can't tell me that animals don't have personality. They sure do. You can't tell me that animals don't have different kind. I mean, some are angry, some are so nice, they got such great temperaments. And I'll tell you something about an animal. An animal can experience heaven on earth. You take a dog, I've had different dogs, I've had golden retrievers and labs. You take a lab, and you take that lab, and you give him a big bone, and then after you give him a big bone, you turn him on its back, and you rub that lab's back, and he's sitting there with that bone in his mouth, and he's laying with you rubbing it. That dog is in as heaven as you will ever find. That is heaven to that dog. But you know what? That dog can't feel any better. That dog can't be any better. He's got a bone in his mouth, and his master's rubbing his stomach. That's it for that dog. But do you know, man can't come to that point. There is nothing on this earth that man can say, now I'm contented. All right, I got the money in the bank. Now I'm contented. That last payment on the car, now I'm contented. I finally got a boat. I'll tell you, if anything doesn't bring contentment, it's a boat. But anyway, I finally got my boat. Oh, I got my kid out of college. It's all paid off. Oh, I'm totally... No, you're not. You will never be contented. You know why? Because God made us for eternity. God doesn't want this to be your home. God doesn't want you to be content here. He wants your contentment to be in the shepherd. He wants you to see that the only contentment, and this is why this sheep is so contented. The Lord is my shepherd. I've got everything. He's in control. And I know he cares for me. And everything that he gives me, if he doesn't give me this, it's because he knows what's best for me. If he takes this away, if he puts me through this, if he gives me this valley, if he takes me to this pasture field, I know he's doing that because he cares for me. He's contented no matter what pasture field he's in, no matter what valley he's going through, no matter what's going on in the flock, he is contented because of who his shepherd is. So we see contentment. And what a great verse there. surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I am contented. I know wherever I go, goodness and mercy is going to follow me. Second thing I see, that I think the reason why this psalm is so good, it brings so much hope. Now, if you notice, I've only made one statement about this all week long, and there was a reason for that. Normally, when is it that we ever hear this psalm? A funeral. But I think there's a reason why we do that. I hope after this week, you will not leave Psalm 23 at a gravesite, because Psalm 23 is for our everyday life. But why is it that Psalm 23 is read at a gravesite all the time or a funeral all the time? Because it gives hope. And I think that hope is found in the first word of verse number 6. Surely. There is no doubt about it. Now, a lot of times when we think of the word hope, we kind of think, well, you know, you could go either way. I kind of hope I get to do this. That's not a Bible term. When the Bible talks about hope, it's talking about a certainty. It's talking about a surely. Surely, this isn't, well, you know, I think so. I wish. I feel like goodness and mercy is going to follow me. I just kind of think that. I logically have seen goodness and mercy follow other people, so I logically think, no, it's not about logic. It's not about feelings. It's not about your emotions. It's surely goodness and mercy. There is hope with this verse. And what is the hope? That surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The hope that the shepherd gives. The last night our Savior was on this earth, he's in the upper room with 12 men that are so confused. 12 men that had followed him for 3.5 years and thought he was going to put together a political kingdom to overthrow the Romans. For 3.5 years, they have followed him. They have eaten with him. They've seen his miracles. And they thought he was a political Messiah. He's coming back, and he will be. He'll come back the second time as the lion. But he came the first time as the lamb. And here they struggled and they were confused. And now he's talking about leaving them. And Peter says, I will go wherever you go. Matter of fact, maybe these won't. Boy, he's going to come back to eat those words. Maybe these won't, but I will always be with you. Oh, Peter, before the cock crows this morning, you will have already denied me 3 times. They're all confused about where he's going and what's happening. And finally, he says to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Boy, what hope he gave those disciples that day. And that's the hope that we see here. There is a house being prepared for us. And let me tell you about that house. It is a big house. It is bigger than anything in the Brentwood area of LA. It is bigger than anything that Beverly Hills has ever seen. This is the big house. This isn't the University of Michigan Stadium. This is the big house. This house is 1,500 miles long. The house, yeah. 12,000 furlongs. You know what a furlong is? 1/8 of a mile. 1,500 miles long this house is. This house is 1,500 miles wide. Wait. It's 1,500 miles long, yep. It's 1,500 miles wide, yeah, not done yet. It's 1,500 miles high. Brother Shetler, wait a second here. What kind of house is this? This is the biggest house you've ever seen. This house goes from Caribou, Maine to Miami. From Miami to Brownsville, Texas. And from Brownsville, Texas to Bismarck, North Dakota. This is a big house. Have you ever thought, you know, We want to be soul winners here at Faith Baptist, but we don't want too many people to get saved. There may not be enough room in heaven, you know? Folks, can I tell you this? This is one big house. It's been calculated that you can put the entire population of the world inside the city limits of Jacksonville, Florida. And if that's true, folks, 1,500 miles in every direction, there's plenty of room for more people to come to the house. Let me tell you that. But not only is it a big house, it is a beautiful house. It's a house you've never seen like anything like this before. Its gold is translucent. They say that if you take a gold and you continue to purify and purify it, that sooner or later, the reason why you can't see through gold is because of all of its impurities. In heaven, there's nothing corrupt. So the gold is translucent. The water is the purest water. The fruit, like you've never had. I've eaten at the Cheesecake Factory and every this week, and I thought to myself, does it get better than the Cheesecake Factory, Lord? And I'm going to tell you, it does. What you will eat up there is going to be unbelievable. You know what? We've been to a lot of cities. I've been to a lot of cities in my life. I've been to New York. I've been to Seattle. I've been to Miami. I've been to Atlanta. I've been to Detroit. I've been to a lot of cities. But I'll tell you, one kind of city I've never been to is a holy city. I've never been to a holy city before. This is a holy city. 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long. This is a big city. This is a beautiful city. And I'm going to tell you, this is a blessed city. There is no more sin. There is no more separation. There is no more sorrow. There is no more sadness. There is no more sickness. And there's no more Satan. This is a beautiful, blessed, big house. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house, the big house. The beautiful house, the blessed house, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, this is the hope this sheep has. This is the contentment this sheep has. Let me give you another one. This is the rest this sheep has. Oh, this sheep has so much rest. Now, I will tell you, we live in a day and age, it's hard to find rest. It's just hard to find peace and quiet and rest. And I think this is one of the most important things that we need to hear tonight after the elections. We need to rest in our Lord. Now, I'm going to take a little rabbit trail on rest. Hold to me. When I get to the end of this, you're going to love this. If I could take you all back 3,000 years to the tabernacle, and you know where the tabernacle? And by the way, when the tabernacle was going through the wilderness, the Lord put the tabernacle right in the midst with all the tribes around. Because the Lord wants to be in the midst of our lives as well. He wants to be the center of our lives. So the tabernacle was right in the middle. And if I said, today we're going to take a tour of the tabernacle. I said, man, Faith Baptist, it's your day for the tour. I know right now, at the end of the tour, I know right now what you would want more than anything else. After we toured the tabernacle, we went in and we saw the brazen altar and we saw the priest killing the sheep and sacrificing them and the smoke going up. And we went over to the laver where we see they wash their hands. And I was able to take you into the holy place and I was able to take you into the holy of holies. And I was to take you around and we walked around the tabernacle. We saw the badger skins and we did everything. Do you know? I know right now the first thing that you would want to do After the tour. You know what it is? If I took you to the tabernacle and I gave you a tour and you saw all the things the priests were doing, we went in the holy holies and we went in the holy place and we did all that, I'm going to tell you the first thing you'd want to do. After that tour, Faith Baptist Church would just want to, I need to sit down. Wow, I just need to rest. That was an amazing tour, but you know what they need in that tabernacle? They need some chairs. There is no place to sit in the tabernacle. And there isn't. There's no benches in the tabernacle. The priest was never allowed to sit down. When it was the priest's turn to work in the tabernacle, he knew, boy, it's going to be a day today. It's going to be a day today. I'm going to be on my feet the whole day. There was no place. There wasn't a little bench, a little chair next to the brazen altar. Hey, come on, put some more wood on, put some more coals on. No, no, no. When you worked at the tabernacle, you stayed up all the whole time. There was no. Did I say there was no seat? Well, there is one seat. there is one seat in the Holy of Holies. It's the mercy seat. And it's at the mercy seat, that cover on top of the ark, that God rests. When the blood is applied to the ark, and once a year when that priest goes in and sprinkles that blood on the mercy seat, but the priest isn't allowed to sit on it. That one seat is where God rests. And can I tell you this? We have rest in the shepherd now because of what he did for us. Some of you Christians, now I want to tell you, Faith Baptist is a little like First Baptist. You guys got a lot of things going on. Whenever you put a Christian school to a church, you got a lot of things going on. You're evangelistic and you're soul winning. You're out there, you've got things going on. You got bus ministries. I'm not telling you to get rid of any of those ministries. Praise the Lord for every one of those ministries. But I have found this to be true in my own life. When you have a ministry with a lot of, when you have a church with a lot of ministries, sometimes the thing you don't get much of is rest. And folks, by the way, you guys have been, you came Sunday night, you came Monday night, you came Tuesday night, you came Wednesday night. You say, you know what, I've enjoyed the meetings, Brother Scheller, but I am kind of looking forward to tomorrow night, just kind of being at home. Listen, that's not sinful to think that. That isn't at all. You know why? Because we need rest. And we need to rest on the shepherd. And I'll tell you why Psalm 23 is just the greatest passage, is because it brings the contentment, it brings the hope, it brings the rest that soul desires, that rest that only Christ can give. Oh, the rest. Then, if you've noticed something, and I think I mentioned it on Sunday morning, there is an intimate individuality about this psalm that's unbelievable. There is an individuality. And we mentioned this earlier. It's like there's this one shepherd and this one little sheep. And it's just like, come on now. He's got a whole flock. But the thing that amazes me about Psalm 23 is the relationship between the shepherd and each one of the sheep. They're each individuals. Have you ever in your life been around somebody that when you're in their presence, you just feel like you're the most important person in the world? That you're just like, wow.
I mean, I know they got a lot of friends. I know that they know a lot of people. But like when I'm around them,
they just make you feel so comfortable and they make you feel so important. And it's just like, hey, I'm like their friend. I remember several years ago, 12 years ago, matter of fact, when it was the election with George Bush and Dick Cheney, and they came through Pensacola, Florida. Dick Cheney, the vice president candidate at that point, came through Pensacola, and they did a fundraiser and a reception and everything. And of course, these guys do thousands of those things. And I was able to get tickets to go to this little, and it was kind of like a lot of elected officials. It wasn't real big. There's probably about 100, 150 people at it. And I got to go. I really wanted to meet Dick Cheney. And so I got to go, and I remember when he was coming in, I shook his hand, I introduced him, you know, I said, you know, I'm Pastor Jim Shetler, you know, and I shook his hand, and he was so cordial. He was just so, just down to earth. He was just very comfortable to be with. And then we went on with the reception. The reception probably went on for another 45 minutes to an hour or so, and we were leaving. And, you know, I just wanted to go to him again, and I was praying that he'd be our next vice president, you know, and I just wanted to go to him and just tell him, I want him to know that I'm going to be praying for him and George Bush, that they win, and I want him to know that our church is going to be praying, and that our church represents a lot of, you know, several thousand college students and everything. So I went over back to Dick Cheney, and I went over to him, and I shook his hand, and I said, sir, I just want you to know, Mr. Cheney, that we are, as a church, going to really be praying for you, and we are going to be lifting you up and George Bush up again. And I'll never forget what happened next. He took both his hands, and he shook my hand, and he said, I really appreciate that, Jim. I really appreciate that. And I looked at him, and I thought, he remembered my name? How could he remember my name? I shook his hand on the way in, and I know, I just said the name. It was nothing. I didn't talk to him for 45 minutes. Think about all the thousands of people that guy meets and all the things. And in that 45-minute time, we're leaving, and I told him we're going to pray for him. And he said, Jim, I really appreciate that. And I thought, what? I mean, I think if I saw him today, he'd probably remember me, huh? No. you know what? That doesn't compare to the shepherd who knows your name. He knows every hair on your head. He knows all about you. There's this individual intimacy between the shepherd and the sheep that makes this psalm. It's all me, my, and I. It's my shepherd. It's that he will be with me. He's going to be there. There is a relationship that's going on in Psalm 23 that's so blessed. Let me tell you what tomorrow is for me. Tomorrow's my birthday. It is. Tomorrow, I'm 43 years old tomorrow. I am. Tomorrow is my spiritual birthday. November 8, 1969, on a church retreat in Kalamazoo, Michigan, as a 12-year-old boy, I knelt down by a cot and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. November 8, 1969. Now let me tell you, I came from a religious background. I came from a Catholic background. My upbringing was be good, do good, look good. And hopefully at the end of your life, your good would outweigh your bad. Well, you know, by 12 years of age, it wasn't working real good. My bad was a lot better than my good. And I started, my mother started to go to a Baptist church outside of Detroit, Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church. She was brought up, every person in my family, every cousin, every aunt, every uncle, every sibling, every person in my family went to parochial school. Every one of them, except for me. I'll never forget, I asked my mom one day about that. I said, Mom, why do all my cousins, all my aunts and uncles, all my grandparents, you and dad, why does everybody go to parochial school except for me? And my mom had a great answer. She said, Jim, I knew that if I sent you to parochial school, you would either kill the nuns or the nuns would kill you. And I said, sounds good to me. It sounds good to me. I am the only Shetler, both sides of the family, as far as you go, that did not go to Catholic school. But I got to tell you, we were one Catholic family. And I mean, we were all, but we realized. I realized as a 12-year-old, I went on a church retreat with a bunch of young people that had Jesus Christ. And I said, you know, they talk about the same things I talked about in catechism, but they have a relationship that I don't have. And on Saturday morning, November 8, 1969, youth pastor Dan Wheelhauer asked, is there anyone here that would like to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior? And I got to tell you, I did not understand what that meant. But I knew I wanted what those kids had. I did not understand what it meant to receive Christ, but I knew I wanted the relationship. I didn't want to go into some little box, open the door, and tell some guy all the things I had done wrong and tell me I told him everything. Ain't no way, man. There's no way. I wanted a relationship with God. And on November 8th, 1969, as a 12-year-old boy, I knelt down and prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior, and he became an individual, intimate Savior to me. And my friend, if you're here tonight, and you came in here tonight a religious person, you can go out tonight with a relationship, because Christianity is not religion. Christianity is a relationship with God. Psalm 23 is not religious. Psalm 23 is an individual, intimate relationship. We're almost done. Then the other thing that I just see it in Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Good job. Thanks for saying that. Forever. You know what else I see from this psalm and I see from this verse is security. Oh, the security that we have. This isn't like, well, it's not forever. If I don't live right, aren't you glad that when you got saved, you didn't get probationary life? Aren't you glad you got everlasting life? And everlasting life can never end, because if everlasting life ever ended, it wouldn't be everlasting. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord, everyone together, forever. Forever. I remember, I've been telling all the stories about Drew. I got to tell one about Ben tonight. Ben was my first son. How many in here are the baby of the family? How many were in here? I was the baby of the family, and I acted like the baby of the family, okay? And I was the baby of the family, and by a lot. I wasn't even supposed to happen. That is the one thing I do thank the Lord for the Catholic Church about, though. But anyways, that I'm not sure that Mom and Dad really wanted me. My brother's 15 years older than me. I have a sister that's 9 years older than me. And I have another sister that's 7 years older than me. And then I came. And I wasn't supposed to come. My mom was 41 and my dad was 46 years old when I was born. But I remember this. So growing up, I didn't know anything about babies or anything. So now I got my first baby, Ben. I don't know what to do with a baby. I was never around babies. I gave him a football when he was first born. I said, come on, kid, let's get going here. I don't know what do you do, you know? And so I didn't know much about baby. I'd never changed a diaper before or anything like that. My wife broke both her elbows 2 weeks after Ben was born. So I learned a lot about taking care of babies really quick. But anyways, I remember we were about, Ben was about 10 months old. He was just starting to walk. And I said, hey, honey, I'm going to take Ben out for a little walk. And she said, you be careful. I said, yeah, don't worry about it. So we went out, and we got outside, and I put my hand down. And when I put my hand down, it was the cutest thing. I put my hand down, and little Ben grabbed a hold of my pinky. He grabbed a hold of my pinky, and we started walking along. It was the cutest thing. We were walking along, and he stepped on something. I don't know, he saw a stick, a crack in the cement. I don't know. He stepped on something, and he started to fall. And you know what's the first thing he did? He let go. That was the worst thing he could have done. That was the first thing he did. He was holding on to my pinky. When he started to fall, the first thing he did was let go. He fell smack on his face. If you saw him today, you would know why he looks the way Don did. He fell smack on his face, skinned his nose, skinned his chin. He's just screaming. He's got blood. I pick him up. I bring him in. Marilee says, Jim, what are you doing? She said, give me that. You don't know what you're doing. You're never going to have this kid. You know, and da, 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 da. And I went, wow, man alive, I really messed up. 2 weeks later, Marilee's gone. Hey, Ben, want to go for a walk? Daddy, walk, daddy, yeah. We go out. We go outside. I reach down. He reaches up and grabs my little pinky. And I said, uh-uh. I reach down, and I grab him at the wrist. Now we got a different ball game. It's not Ben holding on to Dad. Now it's Dad holding on to Ben. And we're going along, and as we go along, he steps on something again. He starts to fall. I pick him up. And he goes a little bit longer. He steps on something, I pick him up. We go along. You know what? We never had another problem. As soon as I got a hold of him, and I want to tell you something. Our security is not how much we're holding on to the shepherd. It's how the shepherd's holding on to us. Man, my security is in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in me. And then finally, is trust. Is trust. There is a trust with this sheep. These sheep don't get up thinking about, oh, what's going to happen today? What's going? He just follows the shepherd. The sheep isn't going, oh, no, this is a steep valley. He's just going. He's following. The sheep never stops and go like, I'm not sure about this grass. This grass just doesn't look good today. I don't know. Those sheep is doing that. The sheep's just following the shepherd. The shepherd says, this is where you're going to eat today. Okay with me. Where's our eating today? Okay, this is the trail we're going to go. Okay, man, I'll go on that trail, man. It's all right with me, man. The sheep is just trusting the shepherd. Boy, what are we going to... Hey, Lord, I don't know about this. Lord, I don't think this is the right kind of grass for me. I'm not positive. Lord, that's a deep valley. God, what are you... Where's the dew? Where's the still water you... Lord, you know what? This sheep's just trusting. Surely goodness and mercy, those are the two sheepdogs. They're on each side. He's leading, the shepherd's leading the way. You got goodness and mercy. If you start getting out of line, that one of those sheepdogs, goodness or mercy, will bark at you and get you back in line. That goodness and mercy, that sheep just goes along. That sheep is not worried about tomorrow. That sheep isn't worried where he's going to get his next meal. That sheep just trusts the shepherd. And folks, that's what we need to do. And that's what this passage is so about. Well, I don't know if you've taken any notes tonight. But have you noticed the six things? Contentment, hope, rest, individual intimacy, security, and trust. You know what that spells? That spells Christ. And let me tell you what Psalm 23 is all about. It's all about Jesus Christ. I heard the story once about a little boy waiting for his dad to get home to play ball with him. His dad was really busy the night before, and he said, when I get home, I'll play ball with you tonight. So when the dad pulled in, little boy got his bat and the ball and glove out on the table. Dad walks in. Dad had a tough day. Dad was really weary. All he wanted to do was sit down and read the newspaper. And as soon as he came in, little boy says, Daddy, I'm ready. Let's go play ball, Daddy. Come on, Daddy. I got the bat and the ball and the glove. Let's go, Daddy. I got the yard all fixed up. We got bases out there and everything. Dad, we're ready to go. We're ready to play. Oh, son, I'm just really tired. I'm just going to sit down for a minute and I'm just going to, oh, Daddy, you promised, Daddy. You promised, Daddy, come on. Daddy, come on, we're going to play ball. Son, I'm just tired right now. I just can't handle it. I just need to rest. I'm just going to read it. Daddy, you said that we would. I said, son, I know. Son, I'll tell you why. And he took his newspaper, And that day in the newspaper was an insurance company. There was a big advertisement for this insurance company, and it had a big globe, a big picture of the world. The father began to tear the advertisement up. He threw the pieces of the newspaper down on the floor, and he said, "Son, you put that advertisement back together right, and I'll go play ball with you." He took the rest of the newspaper, went in the den, and says, "That'll take care of it." The kid didn't even know what the world looks like. There's no way that he's going to put it back together, right? He goes in the other room, and he begins to read his newspaper. After about 5 minutes, "What?" Little boy walks in, and he's got a scotch tape mess in his hand. Father said, "Son, come here. What do you got?" He said, I got it all done, Dad. You ready to go play ball?" Father said, "Son, let me see that." Little boy brought it up to him. The whole thing was put together perfectly. The words were put together right. The kid didn't even know how to read. The father looked at the son and said, "Son, how in the world? Didn't mother help you do that?" "No, Dad, I did it all myself." He said, "Son, how in the world did you put that world back together right?" Little boy said, "Well, Dad, it wasn't hard at all. Because on the other side of the paper, there was a picture of a man. And I knew that if I put the man back together right, the world would come out okay." You know what? You get the right view of the shepherd, your world will come out okay. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I think revival is getting the right view of the shepherd back in our lives. I think revival is all about the shepherd. I do have to tell you, I had a tough night last night. I really did. I went back and I had not heard anything when I got back to the room. And I turned on the TV and I went, my propositions aren't doing well. Everyone, I got on my little phone, I got on my internet on the phone and checked my Santa Barbara County and the people I voted for. Not so good. Things aren't looking good in the nation. Things aren't looking good in Santa Barbara. Things aren't looking good in California. Ick. Before I went to bed last night, I got on my knees. And I said, "Lord, you know what? It's not about who we voted for. It's about our shepherd." And I want to tell you this. Whatever you're going through in your life right now, it may be cancer, it may be finances, it may be whatever, you just need to trust. There is an intimate relationship with that shepherd. Let me encourage you. Let the Lord be your shepherd. You will not want. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You know, it's hard to put an invitation on this. Boy, we've had some great invitations in chapel this week. I, by the way, I tell you, moms and dads.